This episode is brought to you by Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that make cold connections feel warm and real. If you're tired of spammy DMs and generic LinkedIn messages that go nowhere, Ninja Prospecting flips the script. They help coaches, consultants, and service-based business owners spark real conversations using strategic, human-first outreach. No bots, no fluff, just honest, data-backed outreach that reflects your voice and actually gets replies. I recommend talking to my friend Adam Packard and the Ninja team. Whether you want to do it yourself, get support, or have it fully done for you, they've got your back. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com and book a call with Adam and see what's possible.
Knowing who you are, who your fish are, your ICP, what your methodology is, and how you take people from painful, pervasive, urgent, extensive problems to solutions, the value outcomes and transformations that you can provide, is very important. And so finding marketing partners that will give you access to their, I'm going to just totally roll with this fishing analogy, with the pond, if they'll give you access to their pond, if you will, their community that they've built, and you guys can figure out an equitable exchange of value, you got a partnership to be made. And that doesn't mean that you are like going into business together and creating an LLC or anything like that. You could do something as simple as promoting each other on social media, doing a newsletter swap, coming and doing a webinar, workshop, or a masterclass for one another's audiences.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
This episode is brought to you by Ninja Prospecting, the outreach team that make cold connections feel warm and real. If you're tired of spammy DMs and generic LinkedIn messages that go nowhere, Ninja Prospecting flips the script. They help coaches, consultants, and service-based business owners spark real conversations using strategic, human-first outreach. No bots, no fluff, just honest, data-backed outreach that reflects your voice and actually gets replies. I recommend talking to my friend Adam Packard and the Ninja team. Whether you want to do it yourself, get support, or have it fully done for you, they've got your back. Head over to ninjaprospecting.com and book a call with Adam and see what's possible.
Knowing who you are, who your fish are, your ICP, what your methodology is, and how you take people from painful, pervasive, urgent, extensive problems to solutions, the value outcomes and transformations that you can provide, is very important. And so finding marketing partners that will give you access to their, I'm going to just totally roll with this fishing analogy, with the pond, if they'll give you access to their pond, if you will, their community that they've built, and you guys can figure out an equitable exchange of value, you got a partnership to be made. And that doesn't mean that you are like going into business together and creating an LLC or anything like that. You could do something as simple as promoting each other on social media, doing a newsletter swap, coming and doing a webinar, workshop, or a masterclass for one another's audiences.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
Hey, superfans, superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 134, we're joined by Amanda Northcutt, a seasoned executive and powerhouse in the creator economy. With over 20 years of experience leading and scaling recurring revenue businesses, Amanda brings both wisdom and warmth to every conversation. After a successful career as a Silicon Valley executive, she co-founded Level Up Creators, where she and her team help creators and subject matter experts transform their expertise into sustainable, predictable income. She's also the host of the Level Up Creators podcast, publishes a weekly newsletter, and runs programs like Level Up Creators School and the MRR Accelerator, all designed to empower creators to scale without burnout. Known for her ability to turn uncertainty into clarity and chaos into strategy, Amanda delivers actionable insights wrapped in relatable stories that inspire real growth. Get ready for an engaging conversation filled with strategies, mindset shifts, and plenty of energy as Amanda shares how creators can unlock recurring revenue and building businesses that last. Welcome, Amanda, to the Business Superfans podcast. We had a nice little chat before we got started, and excited to dive in into your story. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Freddie. Honored to be here. We're going to have a great chat today.
Sure, we will. Let's go back to the beginning. What's your backstory? How did you come up with your Level Up agency?
Oh man, that's a long and sordid tale with a winding road, very accidentally and very non-linear path, like I think most of the folks that you have the pleasure of speaking with. We'll go back to age 16 and I'll run you through the last 25 years pretty quickly here. But I was tagged as an introvert. I'm the youngest of two. My brother is a very successful lawyer, and my parents still love to joke that my brother took up quote unquote all the airspace while I was growing up. And so folks did not really hear from me until my brother went away to school. I started to come out of my shell. But nevertheless, my parents required me to get a job at age 16. And they convinced some nice friends of ours, Bill and Patty Reynolds, to give me a sales job at their New Balance shoe store in North Dallas in Texas. And everyone expected me to fail at this job for sure. This was like a family friend favor. And what actually happened is I came completely out of my shell and started breaking records left, right, and center, like on a national level, and really, really found my footing and just loved helping people, serving people, solving problems. People would come in with a problem. I could solve it with a shoe and some other special sauce and send them on their way. And it's maybe the kind of beginning of like this personal brand situation that I now have, really planted my flag around, oh, business is just solving problems for people, and sales is just matchmaking and helping people solve painful, pervasive, urgent, expensive problems, whether it's in their foot or in their business or whatever the case may be. And then I was developed a reputation in sales and linked up with these guys that own a little company called TexAgs.com. It's now the largest collegiate media property in the world. And I was the second employee there starting at age 19 and kind of helped build out their business cash cow. And I learned all about recurring revenue in that organization while I was a full-time student at Texas A&M. So I started working full-time when I was 19 and commission only kind of a job and totally got thrown into the deep end, had a whole hell of a lot of fun doing that, did really well, was very successful. Learned all about the customer journey and what it takes to keep customers on a long-term basis and how you have to provide recurring value in order to earn recurring revenue as a business, and understanding what it means to take care of your customers and to create experiences and community around them to the end of doing things like creating business superfans, as it were. And then I had a massive health crisis in my mid to late 20s, and I had to quit that job and figure out out in the world, I was going to continue to make the same amount of money or more in about 20 hours a week, down from 80 to 100 hours a week. I was a little bit of a workaholic. The bottom just fell out of my health. So went back to the drawing board. What skills do I have and how can I package those up in a way that they can go to the highest bidder? And so funny enough, that exercise is something that we now use as part of the MRR method, our proprietary methodology at Level Up Creators. But I figured out, okay, what am I passionate about? What do I have expertise and experience in? What am I professionally recognized for? And what will people pay for? And fortunately for me, market timing was really, really strong with software as a service. This is where Salesforce led the charge here, and now everything is on a subscription basis. And we had really talented engineers in Silicon Valley making really cool products, and they needed people to help sell them and people who understand the full customer lifecycle, soup to nuts. So marketing, sales, and customer success to the end of maximizing customer lifetime value. So I was a fractional executive a half a dozen times. I've consulted for, I could not even tell you how many software companies and recurring revenue companies around the world. And during COVID, I had an epiphany, a lot of time to reflect, like I think the vast majority of us did, and realized that I wanted to spend the rest of my career doing something that felt really meaningful and purposeful. And I loved the people that I was working with at this premier revenue operations consulting firm in Silicon Valley. Really, really lovely individuals. I did not find the work meaningful, purposeful. It was not to the end of the legacy impact and lifestyle architecture and generational wealth that I want to build for my family. So went back to the drawing board, did that same exercise I did in my late 20s. What do I have passion about at this point? What do I have demonstrable track record of success in? And what will people pay for? And I ended up cherry picking all of my very favorite people from all over the world that on the teams that I've built and managed as a fractional executive, and put us all together on Level Up Creators. And we build boutique coaching and consulting firms that earn monthly recurring revenue for subject matter experts and thought leaders from the business world. So that's how we got from there to here in 25 years and 5 minutes, probably.
All good. Wow. What a story, though. You and I have a similar background. It's because I started in the SaaS space when it really began. So in its inception days, so I'm going to date myself, but it was in 1980. I used to be an engineer, and back in the late 70s, and CAD, computer-aided design, just started to get take off. And I was fortunate. I got into that space, and that moved me to Chicago. But it was a different model back then, because it was, you had to actually sell it, physically sell it. So there was no go to the website, sign up and subscribe.
That's right.
It was, you had to go physically sell it. I was the guy that would go out there and install the software. And then I would do the training to teach you how to utilize it. Because back then I was in drafting, you think in 3D and you designed in 2D. Well, now my job was to tell them, okay, you can think in 3D and eliminate that 2D step and go right into 3D design. So then I got into sales and never really looked back. I was fortunate. I got some really high-end sales training, and that was fun because I really excelled into not selling the technology, but really looking where businesses wanted to go and how could I help them get there.
Yes. Like a strong background in sales helps with everything in business.
Actually, in life, really.
Oh, yes.
Combination of both things. Because you're always selling. I mean, people don't realize it, but who's the best salespeople in the world? Kids. They're the best salespeople in the world. They're naturally gifted. They'll go and play mom and dad against one another because they'll say, well, if I got you, I'll clean my room. I'll take out the garbage. I'll do whatever if you get me this toy. And then mom says, well, go ask your dad. They repackaged it and says, mom says it's okay. And they never give up. If that doesn't work,
relentless.
They re-come up with another approach.
That's right. That's very true.
They're relentless. Exactly.
That's true.
And when somehow we grow up and lose all that stuff.
We forget.
So let's go back into, what does a Level Up Creator do?
Yeah, so we are basically a business incubator, and we run an accelerator model. So we run very small cohorts. We are a high touch, high ticket, low volume shop. And we have two cohorts running concurrently at a time of just five individuals. So these are 40 to 60 year old subject matter experts who have already been quite successful in their professional corporate careers and have one foot out the door in corporate or have already left and are ready to go and venture out on their own and really achieve their full potential in their area of expertise on their terms, again, to the end of generational wealth, legacy, impact, and lifestyle architecture. So we marry subject matter expertise with specific individuals with our operational methodology called the MRR method, monthly recurring revenue method. And we build businesses from ideation or fledgling, frustrated consulting or coaching firm, all the way through to demonstrably effective businesses that earn between $30,000 and $60,000 in monthly recurring revenue. We guarantee our results. So this is a 7-month program. And if we do not achieve, in conjunction and partnership with you, achieve your MRR guarantee by the end of the 7 months, we continue to work with you until we do at no additional charge. And so we put our money where our mouth is, and we are walking the talk and all of those silly analogies, and a pretty special thing going on. And it's pretty differentiated. I'm not aware of any competitors in our space, especially that guarantee the results. And one of the unique and coolest things about our organization is that we're not just doing meta ads or SEO or pricing and package design or figuring out who your ICP is or just building your website. We do every single step of business building in this, basically what is a massive productized service with hundreds of steps on the back end in service of building these incredible businesses for our clients. And we talk about the MRR Accelerator in terms of we're delivering both a fish and a fishing pole, if you will. So the fish is the demonstrably effective business in a box. You got all the pieces, all the technology together, new website, brand guide, funnels, sales process, customer journey design, everything is done for you. And so that's the fish. We hand it over. And then the fishing pole is there's a group coaching component, a cohort component. So my job is to curate a killer group of just 5 or 6 individuals at a time who are going to be additive to one another. Like you were talking about business ecosystems earlier, and that's exactly what we're trying to help our clients with, a client acquisition in particular, through referrals and expansion revenue. And so referrals come from typically tangentially related non-competing businesses who are looking after the same ideal customer profile. And so we build these cohorts in a way that there can be all sorts of creative marketing partnerships or even service delivery partnerships or even business partnerships. And there's a group coaching component to our program. And everything in that program is in service of helping our consultants and coaches think and act like a top CEO, so that at the end of the program, they can take their business and push it toward the full realization of kind of the 10-year vision that we set at the beginning of the accelerator together. And if they want to decouple their business from our services, they can. We make it really, really easy physically, really, to like disconnect and do that. But the decision is hard when you have a full fractional team running your business that has complete context for you and your organization. So, but we're big on
it makes sense, though.
Yeah, providing recurring value in order to earn recurring revenue. Our business is a mirror business of the ones that we build for our clients. And so we're always testing and experimenting everything and every tool and every method before we roll it out to our client base.
Sure, because what you're doing is you're really helping someone who's been in the corporate world for, let's say, decades.
Yep.
And now they've retired or they're thinking about retiring and they go, okay, now what am I going to do? And all of a sudden it's like, well, how do I market myself? I have no clue because I stepped into the corporate world. I'm VP of whatever, or sales guy, or whatever, marketing person or whatever. And now I'm on my own and I got to create a brand for myself, which I don't know how to do because I've been building someone else's brand for decades.
Yes.
So what you're really doing is you're putting together a whole package that says, okay, we're going to turn you into a somebody for what you are knowledgeable for.
Yeah, you got it. We're helping people answer the question, I do X for Y so that Z. I do this kind of thing. This is my positioning for this type of specific person in this specific type of business so that they can achieve these specific quantitative and qualitative value outcomes and transformation. So yeah, we definitely help with that. Very firm positioning. I'm a firm believer that when you think about sales as matchmaking instead of traditional used car salesman, slick back hair selling, that business becomes infinitely easier. And you are seeing yourself on a peer level with your prospective B2B clients. And the defenses come down when you start a selling conversation with, I do X for Y, so that Z. And the purpose of this conversation is to better understand if we're a fit, a mutual fit for one another, and if there's an equitable value exchange to be had. And if there's not, I'll be the first one to speak up. And I have a huge network of amazing consultants and coaches that I'm happy to refer you to. So that's the intent of this conversation. And then everybody's defenses are down, stress is low. And again, we're asking skillful questions to determine if there is a fit or not. And the type of businesses that we're building for our clients are based on productized services, based on that each individual's intellectual property, their methodology. And we're packaging that up in a productized service way that earns recurring revenue so that our clients can provide consistently excellent results and be known as specialists in their area for those specific customers to the end of XYZ outcomes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally makes sense. That was my way of selling manufacturing software when I was in that space in the 90s. I would go in and everybody was talking about the software and how cool it is and all that stuff. And I would change the conversation and the conversation would be, okay, Amanda, where do you see your business being in 2 to 3 years? there's other products that do what we do. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in business. So I got that out of the way. So I neutralized that. It really was about where you wanted to go. What was the challenges your company was dealing with? So manufacturing, scrapping metal was a big issue because we could buy a particular piece of metal. And then if the milling machine gouged it incorrectly or whatever, they couldn't use it unless they would wait for a year, 2 years to repurpose it when somebody else wanted that type of material for their project. So they'd have a stockpile of scrapped metal. Mm-hmm. So the conversation would be, what's that costing you? How often does it happen? Blah, blah, blah. And if I could save you 2-3 pieces of just that, plus the productivity gains, would it be worth continuing the conversation? That would completely change the game. We were no longer talking about product. We were talking about business strategy and growth and where they wanted to go and the problems. And by doing that, I collapsed the sales cycle.
I'm sure you did. Yeah, because you're speaking as a peer, right? Like as a strategic consultant and not a typical salesperson. So I'm sure that did set you far and away above the pack.
Yeah, it was fun because I also worked the sale backwards. I would lay out all the timelines and everything would be neat on the marker board or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is what we need to do. You got to understand you got to be running concurrent systems. You can't shut this off and expect this to make money. I laid it all out. So I also created super fans out of the people that were going to use the technology because I bought them road to learn the new stuff. So when we laid it out, it was basically their layout plan that says, okay, Amanda, based upon the timeline that we put together, which is your timeline, to exit your timeline, we need to have that purchase order today.
That's right. Super simple logistics.
And I get it because they wrote it up on the board. They sold themselves. It's fun.
That's great.
So let's go back into what you guys do. Can you share a story of how somebody was fumbling around and did not know what direction they should go? Because a lot of times you got experience, but you don't know if I should do this or if I should do that. So walk us through a little bit the process of how you've done something. And they became a super fan of you guys to where they're telling everybody that they know, which is attracting more business for you.
Yes, I have the perfect example of this. And I think that this would be a great potential example for your listeners to try and replicate this. So our company, we turned 2 years old last week. And we knew at the beginning of this year, after being open for 18 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We're going to hit a multi-million dollar run rate this year. We are 100% woman-owned business and we bootstrapped. I funded this thing. And so I say that just as a piece of credibility for what I'm about to say, because it works. We were talking earlier about ecosystems and about, I love marketing partnerships and finding individuals and businesses in tangentially related fields that are non-competitors who have a pond full of your fish, your ICP fish. You want to fish in target-rich environments, not go out in the ocean trying to catch a bass or something. You want to go to the right pond and that kind of fish. So knowing who you are, who your fish are, your ICP, what your methodology is, and how you take people from painful, pervasive, urgent, expensive problems to solutions, the value outcomes and transformations that you can provide is very important. And so finding marketing partners that will give you access to their, I'm going to just totally roll with this fishing analogy, with the pond, if they'll give you access to their pond, if you will, their community that they've built, and you guys can figure out an equitable exchange of value, you got a partnership to be made. And that doesn't mean that you are like going into business together and creating an LLC or anything like that. You could do something as simple as promoting each other on social media, doing a newsletter swap, coming and doing a webinar, workshop, or a masterclass for one another's audiences. You can be a guest on their podcast and vice versa, like we're doing right now. So there's any manner of ways that quote unquote partnerships can be set up. So long as your incentives are aligned, you're going to be set up for success. And there's some like relational equity that exists between you and the individual you are partnering with, again, to the end of providing value for them that they need, and they are giving value to you that you need, in this case, access to potential customers, target-rich environment. So I saw an opportunity for this about a year ago with a woman named Amanda Goetz. And funny branding, we're both named Amanda, super great, very memorable. Amanda was stuck at about $12,000 in monthly recurring revenue in her business. She's had an exit. She's been a CMO 4 times. She's an advisor. She's a speaker. She's got a book that will be on the bestseller list by the end of this year. She's a big deal, has a lot of followers, and was stuck at this $12,000 monthly recurring revenue ceiling, which is very frustrating when you're sitting on kind of the pot of proverbial gold and you can't figure out how to get to it, how to tap it. So she had an audience, very target-rich environment for Level Up creators. So she was sort of the gatekeeper to our ICP, if you will. And we had the operational knowledge and methodology to move her from $12,000 in monthly recurring revenue to $50,000 in monthly recurring revenue. And so Amanda and I orchestrated a mutually beneficial, equitable partnership where we would operate her business and she would promote the work that we were doing for her to her massive audience. And we did this in a very structured, strategic way, but it was real. This was a working in public, no smoke and mirrors, the gloves are off, a working in public campaign. We gave live updates on a weekly basis. We did LinkedIn lives together and podcasts together and webinars for each other's audiences and newsletter promotions and like all manner of things. So it was very carefully orchestrated, but it was all in public. It was all real numbers in real time. And so we took people along on the journey with us. And so people love Amanda Goetz, who are heavily, heavily invested in her success. She's also a single mom of three. And so everyone wants her to succeed. She's actually a wonderful human being. That was a very interesting kind of angle to take. And so not only is Amanda Goetz our top referrer of other clients for our MRR Accelerator, the Accelerator program was actually born out of our work with Amanda, because as the old saying goes, if I had a nickel for every time somebody asked me how they could get that level of help in their business. So we created this program based on the success, the raving massive success of that working in public campaign. Now, Amanda is this author, speaker, advisor figure, and people are even have higher affinity for her than they did a year ago because of this working in public campaign. She is wildly successful on her way to the next seven-figure milestone, and we got a lot of credibility by demonstrating our skills and really putting ourselves out there. We were exposed, right? We were very vulnerable, like an exposed nerve, and so we had to deliver, which is really fun. I love like high pressure environments, being in sales and a former athlete. I'm good and okay with that. I love the pressure. But that created not only Amanda as our number one raving super fan, but everyone else that followed her and then ended up following us because of the project and just the intrigue. And it was pretty inspirational to see two women elevating each other and helping each other's businesses in this professional environment. And that's a rarity, frankly. And so we're trying to set the example and create a model here for that. So that created Amanda as a super fan and then all the people who followed along on that working in public journey. And that required a lot of vulnerability, a lot of hard work, a lot of preparation. The agreement has to be set up right. Good fences make good neighbors. But that was the ultimate chess move in terms of creating super fans. And now we share numbers on some level with permission with our accelerator clients. And we do all of our marketing is about what's going on in the accelerator and who our clients are and the elevation of our clients. And so there's opportunities for working in public there as well. So it's this perpetual virtuous cycle, if you will.
It's a brilliant approach and a great story because, yeah, what you're doing is real time. And so it's real. It's like a reality show in a
That's
sense.
That's right.
But with all the without all the drama, but it's still, you're sharing what's happening in real time, in a sense. So you got credibility. There's no denying you've got the credibility, and that's giving you your social proof, which is the best marketing that you can have. And yeah, you're going to create super fans. One of my customers years ago, they started out as a 40-man shop. And then because of the way we talked about business growth, they ended up buying the building next door and then they built a breezeway there. Then they bought the other building next door and built a breezeway there. And I can attribute to them my fastest sale is because all of a sudden I get a phone call from somebody and the guy says, well, Jack, which was the owner of the one company, said, since we're doing overflow work so that we don't have any data issues exchange, I need to buy your system. How much and how fast can you get it here? And we actually drove there and that was really the conversation because we had brought our computer gear back then. It was no online demo. You schlepped all your gear and with you. He goes, I don't need to see it. So the sale was done in 30 minutes and my whole 30 minutes was putting it together the order form. And then I had a Mac and so I would fax it to his fax machine and then we would take that fax and fax it to corporate for the order. So I'd use his fax machine to print it out and fax it and fax the order.
Yep.
All because of the fact that I had built a super fan, but there was social proof because they grew so big.
That's exactly right. Yes, there's nothing like a referral and a warm introduction. You talk about collapsing a sales cycle, man. That's the formula.
Well, yeah, the introduction is much better than a referral. Referral still, I look at it, it's good, it's great, but you still got to do the work. An introduction, the whole sales cycle just collapses because you're the guy or you're the gal, the end.
Yep, that's right. Because you're the person who does X for Y, so that's Z, right? Now, the clear positioning makes you inherently referable and introducible as well. So that's super important.
Sure. So let's go further a little bit into some of the things that you guys do to help people get themselves out of their own way and realize the skill sets that they've got, because that in itself is a challenge. Mm-hmm.
It is. And something that's very interesting that has emerged as a theme in our client work is that we're working with very intelligent people, which by all external markers of success, especially in the corporate world, American dream, that whole narrative, these people have checked all the boxes. They've checked all of the boxes. And typically what is standing in the way of their full leveraged success, stepping into their own, really making it and achieving their goals, is mindset. Because business is figure outable. Anybody that's intelligent, curious, and knows how to problem solve and do research and is approaching their life with a growth mindset, you can put together a whole bunch of different resources and like figure out the path there. We offer that in massively accelerated capacity. We do in 7 months what it typically takes 3 to 5 years for an individual to do. So that's figure outable. That's logistics. It's facts. The other piece of it that's a lot tougher and that most often stands in entrepreneurs' way is their mindset. Imposter syndrome and scarcity mindset are the two evil voices that sit on our shoulder. Who am I to do this and to offer that or to charge this, especially, or to charge anything other than like an hourly rate? A lot of consultants are like, they do the math of what their effective hourly rate based on their total comp was in corporate, then they start charging that in their consulting or coaching firm. We're big on really on value-based pricing. And so it is identifying and addressing mindset blockers and deep-seated, deep grooves in our brain that serve as massive roadblocks to our success. It's identifying and then removing those barriers that typically helps complete the full picture, right? Because then you've got your mind is in the right place. You have the subject matter expertise. You know your stuff. You've been doing this for 15, 20, 30, 35 years. And then we've got the business operations piece. So if you believe that you can be successful and that the little evil voices on your shoulder can shut up and you've got your receipts, you've got your proof points, you've got your social proof, you've got your track record of success, you've got your LinkedIn recommendations, you've got your case studies and statistics, you can convince yourself to overcome those mindset barriers to help you really fully step into your potential and long-term goals, again, to the end of generational wealth, legacy impact, and lifestyle architecture. But that is a big, big, big hurdle for a lot of folks that we work with. So that's maybe not the answer you were expecting, but that is a major theme with our clients.
Sure, but that's really what I was expecting, because you got to get yourself out of your own way because you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And that's really it. And so what you're doing is you're helping people get out of their own way by really reinforcing what they're worth, because a lot of times you underprice yourself. You give yourself away. And I've had it to where I'm going, I can't charge that. It's too high. And I'm working on getting my own self out of my own way, saying, wait a minute, I'm a rock star, so I should charge rock star money.
That's right.
But it takes work to get to that level. And so you're shortcutting that for people. And that's terrific. That's why you guys are exploding like you are. Because it's a much needed service that you're offering, because when you're in a corporate world, you get a new job, your new VP of sales or COO or whatever it is, you already got a team in place. So in a lot of cases, you're not a startup. It's easy to take a look what's going on. Okay, well, we could replace that technology, become more efficient. We can put in KPIs. We can put in some goals. I always use the example, get everybody on a rowing boat,
yep.
8 people. Everybody's got their own, well, let's get in synchronization. Let's blow this thing up. But now you're by yourself. If you look around, there ain't no team. It's you. And so what you're doing is you're really bringing that team to that individual without them having to find that team themselves.
That's exactly correct. And we have an unbeatable team. My team is all A-plus players. They are unbelievable, highly experienced. I cannot say enough good things about my team. And frankly, neither can my clients. And so, yeah, there's no figuring out what the role needs to be, job description, interviewing, compensation package, management, operating system, accountability, and all those kinds of things. It's just, we have a complete fractional team that we just install directly into your business.
So it's a complete game changer. It's basically, you're almost getting a turnkey business.
Yep, that's right.
With people that basically is providing a compass or GPS in today's world. Let's modernize a little bit. So you get a GPS that will give you the directions, okay, this is what route you need to go to get to that level. So that's what you're really doing, is you're the GPS to get people from $5,000, $10,000 to $50,000 to $100,000 a month in reoccurring revenue through your MRR method.
That's right. You got it.
Very cool. So do you have another story that you'd like to share with us of somebody else that you've transformed and where they're at today?
I think it would be fun to tell just a customer experience story, stories that I could tell about client work, but the Amanda Getz story, I can legally share all of the details of that. All of our other clients, I can't share all of the details, but the Amanda Getz model is what we do for all of our clients. What I want to do is just encourage your listeners to think about customer experience. And you alluded to this earlier, Freddie, and the way that you show up on-prem with your demo and with relationship intact. And I bet you took really good care of your customers for the long term because you earned those referrals and introductions. So I am running a high ticket, high touch, low volume business model. Those are the business models that we build for all of our clients. And we believe that is a very high form of leverage for average folks, those that don't have hundreds of thousands or a million or millions of social media followers. I'm a firm believer that course sales is not the way, and low ticket memberships are not the way. A highly leveraged business looks like not doing individual contributor work. So we're talking about fractional executive work, advisory work, consulting work, coaching work, advisory to the board work, even doing advisory for equity and more creative arrangements that are available to subject matter experts now, especially if you also have an audience, you're advising a company and giving them access to your audience. There's some interesting plays to be made there. Very interesting plays to be made with intellectual property at this point with AI, and the potential for licensing is very interesting. Keynotes, workshops, trainings, things like that. That's the kind of product ladder that we're building for our clients. And we're building productized services to earn recurring revenue, but that's only part of the picture. Customer experience is the other side of the coin that will really put you head, shoulders, knees, and toes above everybody else. Your prospective clients and clients will not consider a competitor if you have a strong personal brand, intellectual property, so a specific methodology with a demonstrable track record of success, and you are providing these very interesting, and this is part of a product I service within a customer journey, magical moments for your clients. We love planning magical moments. We will do the most crazy, over-the-top things for our clients to surprise and delight them at regular cadences. And they remember that. They're so grateful for that. No other service providers, like the things that we do, we know their kids' names and birthdays and their spouse's or partner's name and their pets and their wedding anniversary. We have all this information that we collect during onboarding. And sometimes we get like, why in the world are you guys asking me all this stuff? But it gives us the opportunity.
It all plays into
That's right. Very intentional. And this does not have to be crazy expensive. We do some crazy expensive stuff because we're very high ticket and that's built into our budget. But think about sending fancy cupcakes or crumble cookies on the kid's birthday, balloons or something like that. That's a $30 thing that your client will remember forever. So when you're building a business based on expansion revenue and you're counting on getting referrals and warm introductions, it's your methodology, but it's also the way that you build a relationship and treat your clients and customers. You have to design those things. They don't happen naturally. I'm a very process-oriented person, which is probably coming through loud and clear, but baked into our accelerator are very specific, intentional touch points for 4 points during the accelerator. And then we also inject elements again for birthdays, anniversaries, kid birthdays, and things like that. And then if somebody is sick in the household, we have like a quick policy. We send $150 Grubhub or whatever to their favorite restaurant so they can get takeout and just like make life easier. Handwritten notes. How much is a stamp? 60 cents. I don't know. And in 10 minutes of your time, a handwritten note to a new client goes a long way as well. So think about how you can inject those.
You make me kind of laugh because you must have read my book, because my book, Creating Business Superfans, talks exactly about all those things that you just mentioned.
And often overlooked.
It's critical. People overlook it. And I always say the sale isn't the paperwork. The sale is everything that happens after the paperwork. That's the whole experience. I'm going to really emphasize the whole ecosystem of basically all stakeholders here because you opened up the door. So I'm going to walk in. And to make that happen, if you're dealing with suppliers, you got to take care of the suppliers. So, because that's your customer. Your team is your customer. Your contractors, they're your customer. Your distributors, they're your customer. Your complementary businesses, They're your customer. And your ancillary businesses, your law firm, your accounting firm, your advisory firm, etc. They're also your customer. What you're just saying, I'm just emphasizing, because it's really all those groups are the customer. So if it's a supplier, recognizing them on their birthday, when you're in a jam and you need something right away, guess who they're going to take to do a favor? I had one person on a show several episodes back that when a pandemic hit, he had built a relationship with the supplier. So when he needed 500 laptops like that, and everybody else was looking for 500 plus laptops right away, guess who got his right away?
Yes, sir. It matters.
He got them right away.
It matters a whole lot. It matters.
One of the things I always talk about is the little things are really the big things. And that's what we're talking about. Is that's a little thing, sending him a $150 Grubhub ticket or sending a birthday card or sending him brownies or multitude of different things. I send coffee cups and or water bottles to people. Those are little things. But it's pretty cool when someone posts it up on LinkedIn and says, hey, look, who does this? Oh, this guy. And that's, can't buy that kind of PR. That's the best PR you can possibly get. So I'm 100% behind you because that's my brand.
Yeah. Yes. It's big and it's such a differentiator. So few people actually do it and do it well and are intentional about it. But if you are able to bake that into your customer journey, make that part of your productized service, there will be no end to your ability to earn expansion and referral-based revenue.
Absolutely right. So Amanda, as we come closer to the end, how can people find you?
Yeah, you can follow me on LinkedIn, just Amanda Northcutt, two T's on the end of the cut, and share insights on a daily basis on how to run a boutique coaching and consulting firm that earns monthly recurring revenue. And we also have a podcast, the Level Up Creators Podcast. And if you're interested in this accelerator we've been discussing, you are welcome to pop over to mrraccelerator.com and learn a little bit more. And you can join our interest list and reach out to me for a call.
Yeah, we'll make sure that's in our show notes. Thank you so much for your time today. Great conversation. You and I could talk on this stuff for hours.
No doubt.
And we definitely would love to have you on the show down the road again.
Thank you so much, Freddie. Great to be here.
Wow. What a powerful conversation with Amanda. This episode connects perfectly to the pillar E, elevate. Turn experiences into loyalty, delivering standout experiences that transform buyers and employees into superfans. Amanda showed us how creators who truly serve their audience build not only transactions, but trust. Here's your challenge. Find one small way this week to upgrade an experience, whether it's with a client, a partner, or even your team. The result? Deeper loyalty and a stronger foundation of superfans who choose you again and again. And remember, one action, one stakeholder, one superfan closer. Until next time, keep building your business superfans. Thank you for listening. And know this, when you do, freedom follows. Hey, one more thing before we sign off. What if your employees, your customers, and even your partners became your biggest advocates? Imagine referrals flowing in, clients staying loyal, and a business that scales sustainably, not forcefully. That's what we're building inside the Superfans Growth Hub, the community for service-based business owners who want proven strategies, my Superfans framework, and a supportive network to accelerate results. So if you're ready to outpace your competition and build a business powered by superfans, join us today at superfansgrowthhub.com. Once again, that's superfansgrowthhub.com, and I'll see you on the inside.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans Podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to businesssuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.